As you can see on the screens, this is Vector Tiles, styling your own base maps. My name is Andrew Green. I'm a project manager for the Esri base maps. With me, we have Renee Rubalcava and Andy Skinner. And just to give you a little brief introduction, just so you're sure you're in the right location, we're going to be talking about styling your own base maps. This is primarily the Esri vector base maps. These are the ones that we're bringing to ArcGIS Online and that you can use in Pro. It will look at a JavaScript side of customization as well as a more cartographic styling customization. So that's a real 5-cent introduction, and we'll get into it. So I'll introduce our Esri vector tiles. And what are they? There are base maps that are cached and delivered as vector tiles in the PBF format. They're rendered client-side. Compare that with our existing raster base maps, which are server-side cache that take up a lot of space. Our vector tiles take up about 20 gigabytes total for our total tile set. They're based on resource files that are delivered with the vector tiles. It's four components. The style, which is a root.json file, sprites, which are essentially the patterns, symbols, road shields, town dots, trees, those type of things. That comes in a raster format. Fonts, and an info file. The info file really dictates the fonts that are used in your style. Currently, Esri is generating the vector tile base maps with early versions of ArcGIS Pro. We're working with daily builds of Pro 1.3, so we're getting stuff out there ahead of what our users can do, but you can say we're kind of blazing the trail and making sure that it's safe for you guys once we're making it available to you. The vector base maps do also display in the most current desktop web browsers, so some of the older IE versions are not going to be able to support it. We do have future plans for display in various desktop and mobile apps, such as Collector, Survey123, and the like. So the Esri initial style set includes 9 different base map styles. The one important feature of our tiles is that it's created from a single set of tiles. Compare that with our raster maps, where we have sets of cache for each of our different styles. Our vector tiles all come from the same tile set. Some of our styles closely resemble our raster styles. We have street map with and without relief, topographic map, a terrain with labels, and we have the light and dark gray canvas in the vector styles. We also have three new styles, a navigation style, a streets at night, and an imagery hybrid, which is essentially the boundaries and places in addition to the transportation. They come as tile layers you can add to an existing map or use them as the base map, and also web map. Some of the maps that we've put together, like topographic, have a raster hillshade as well as the vector overlay combined to form the base map in the web map. One of the big questions that we've been getting since the vector tiles are in beta is, where can I find these base maps? It's a good question. As they're in beta, they're kind of out there, and we haven't really developed a good landing page for them on ArcGIS Online. That will be coming. Until that point, there's two main areas. One is one of our groups, Vector Base Maps Beta Group. You can find that on ArcGIS Online, bookmark it, refer to it. The other is, if you're searching in ArcGIS Online, use this syntax, owner:Esri_vector. That's the owner of the official 9 core Esri base maps for the tiles. Like to say, we also have a handout at the end if you want to come up and pick it up. It has most of this information, since a lot of this is links and things like that. The time frame of our vector tile program. Last year, we showed an initial view. In November, we released our beta version, beta 1. And then in May, just a few months ago, we released our beta 2. It was a completely new tile set, which required us to have a new URL for our base maps. It updated the root.json syntax. So there were some substantial changes between beta 1 and beta 2, which is why we needed to make those changes. We've added new features since beta 1. And we also have updated the data and added new communities into our beta 2 vector tiles. Throughout 2016, we'll still be in beta. We'll continue to do our data updates. We'll refine our setting file. We'll add more data features. And we'll update the tile layers and web maps. We do plan to exit beta later in 2016, and that will be dependent on things like Pro 1.3 released, as well as additional apps being able to support the vector tile format. Some of the benefits of using the vector tile base maps: one is updated data. Our ability to turn around the vector tiles is a lot faster than our raster base maps, and because of that, you'll be getting updated data in the vector tiles more frequently than in the raster maps. The other big thing is, and hopefully maybe one of the reasons why you're here, is that you're able to create custom styles from the vector base maps. You can go in, you can edit the JSON code, you can restyle it, turn layers on and off. That's what these guys next to me are going to really get into explaining. And the other thing is that they do perform better than the raster base maps on high-res devices like the phones and tablets. Some of the benefits, like I said, we do have better commercial data updates with the vector tiles more frequently. The tiles also contain the Esri community maps data. We have over 400 contributors, and it's a growing program. So these are communities that are producing or providing to us authoritative data from country levels down to campus levels. And that they're all going to be in the vector tiles. And the other component that I mentioned before is that we're cooking them into a single vector tile set, which then is shared among all the other tile styles. We've published a number of blogs. Here's just five that we have out there. You can search the tag vector base map. This is another thing that's on the handout up here. And then we also have a reference document that's linked from one of the blogs, and also I think it's linked from the map items of the vector tiles. That goes through and tells like the min-max zoom, the fonts that we're currently supporting in the tile set, and things like that. So creating custom styles from the vector tile base maps. It's served from a single vector tile set. We do have multiple styles available as starting points for your customization. You're able to save a copy of the vector tile base map layer to your own ArcGIS Online account. And there are different ways that you're able to restyle and customize the maps. We have a couple different styling apps that we're going to go through. You can edit the JSON directly, or you can edit with, or you can customize it with the JavaScript API. So that segues nicely into Rene's talk, and I'll turn it over to him.
All right, thank you. So I'm going to talk more about how you can work with the vector tile maps inside your applications and do some stuff with them runtime in terms of styling. So the vector tiles were introduced into the API back in 3.15 plus. So they're in 3.15, 3.16, and most recently in 3.17. They're also in the 4.0 version of the API. The APIs to work with vector tiles are slightly different between 3x and 4x, which I've got labeled on here. And one thing you know is that if you're working with the vector tiles in the browser, it does use WebGL, which is part of the what drives our browser support. So they do not work in older browsers like IE9, IE8. It just won't work there. If you happen to notice some artifacts in your vector tiles, such as weird blocks showing up, or maybe just some odd annotations or labeling and stuff, it might be a video card issue, even if though it's being used in the browser, because it does utilize the video card. It's part of the WebGL. So you may want to look into updating your video card drivers directly from the vendor site and not as a Windows update or OS update. It's kind of how we recommend doing it. Something to keep in mind. It's been a couple of people before. And 4.0, I know 4.0's big push is 3D and scene views and everything like that, but as of right now, 4.0 vector tile is only available in 2D. But that will change upcoming since we get that into 3D. So you can style your apps directly in your web app. Style your maps directly in your web application, either at the beginning or during application runtime, however you want to do it. The API allows you to be able to update the styles a couple different ways. So in 3x, you can basically it's called load style. In 4.0, it's load style. 3x is called set style. You can basically pass in the style object, which is going to describe what the vector tiles look like, or pass in a whole new URL, and it'll repaint the vector tiles for you in the browser. And one thing to keep in mind, and every now and then people get confused on this, is that when you're working with the styles themselves, the styles are not the vector tiles. The styles are simply a JSON file describing how to draw the vector tiles. The actual resources for the vector tiles all come from the same spot. So all these different base maps that we support here, or that we provide, they're all just different style files that point to the exact same resources that are on ArcGIS Online. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And you don't have to worry about, when you're copying the styles over in ArcGIS Online, am I going to be using up so much space because I'm copying vector tiles? No, you're not copying the actual vector tiles. You're just copying the style that you can work with and modify on your own. This is just one sample of an application that we've got to help style applications here. And just to give you an idea of what a style file looks like, we've got here just samples of this JSON that you can edit directly. And you'll see more of this later on. This is just one little thing I wanted to show here. And then this is another sample of how you can kind of tweak the styles in various ways inside your web application. And I'll show you this sample in a second. So let me get out of here real quick and go directly to my browser here. See it? Okay, perfect. So if there's a GitHub repo I set up with links to some various vector tile experiments that I've put together, and those are all in this handout that we've got up here. And one caveat to keep in mind, I am not a great cartographer over here. I like to pretend every now and then. So I cannot promise that my vector tile stylings will look good, but no one said they had to, just I had to style them. So this is the editor that we're going to show more in depth later on, but I really just want to show it for the fact to give you an idea of what the style JSON looks like. Right? So we have these this property called glyphs. This is going to point to things like the shields, the highway shields and stuff. And then what you're really going to be more concerned about is this layers in here. And the layers are what's going to be describing the actual vector tile style. And this is part of that document that was talked about earlier that links and tells you what the different min, max, zooms and everything are. It's a pretty detailed document. And if you're going to be styling your vector tiles, it's a document you should probably get pretty familiar with because you're just going to be kind of banging your head around going, well, what does this mean? Why am I changing this? And that's something you're going to want to learn to work with. So we've got a couple of neat little apps that you can play with to do some styling. And what this app does is it's going to use color brewer palettes to basically modify the colors that are in my map. And for this particular vector tile map, and you may have seen this, I think someone showed me it was in something yesterday or earlier today sometime. But for this base map here, what I did is I took out pretty much everything I didn't need for my vector tile style. So I've down to like 20 layers. And that makes it pretty easy for me to go ahead and style it at that point because I don't have to worry about so much. If you try and style everything, yeah, that's tough. Don't try and do that. So basically what I'm doing here is I'm not being very smart in how I'm doing this styling. But I take this color brewer palette. I'm going to replace all of the purple, for example, with another color. I don't care what the purple is doing. I'm just replacing it because I don't care. And that's pretty much what you end up with, something like that. Now, that doesn't look too bad. I mean, I can work with that. At this point, when I've done this, I can kind of go in there and kind of hand edit now these various colors and kind of tweak them a little bit. And there's some of the pretty cool stuff you can do in here. You can go purple to red. That looks nice. And you get start doing some weird stuff now. If I go down to, I think, the spectral, and I know that may not be great. That's kind of blinding. These pastels, knock yourself out. Go ahead, go nuts, and style whatever you want to style. So that's one sample of how you kind of do it. This is just replacing all the colors doing stuff. So I mentioned before that there's a lot of layers in the base vector tile styles. So maybe you want kind of want to trim that down a bit. So I've got a sample app here. This isn't totally inclusive, but you can go ahead and turn off all the buildings, for example. So I turn off all the buildings, and I have no more buildings. If I want to get even more fine-grained, I can go into roads, and I can turn off various layers that are part of the road network, and turn all those off. When I'm happy with turning off everything I want to turn off, maybe I want to focus on the railroads and not worry about roads. I'm working with railroads, and that's my main concern. I'm ready to go. I've got that broken down to about 20, maybe 30 layers. You can get the JSON string, copy it, and if I go back to this set over here, paste it into this little editor that we talked about earlier, and remember, this is all pointing to the same resources. So even though I only have 20 layers I'm styling, it's the same data. If I apply the style, it's going to go ahead and apply that style back to it, and all those resources I wasn't using before, I can now use again. I can start tweaking the colors and everything I want to do. So that's one thing to keep in mind. This little app here will kind of help you kind of narrow down the layers you want to use for your vector tiles to be able to style them. And I've also got this neat little one over here. Basically, if I want to change all the purple to a different color, I can pick the purple here and just change it all red, apply that color, and I'm all set and ready to go. Again, these are repos on GitHub. They're linked. They're on these sheets up here. The source code for how these applications work is all in there. It's pretty basic. It's like one file for each one that shows how to do the styling. And I just want to kind of show you this particular map here. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're doing your styling and everything like that, you probably want to have an app. You probably want to have an application that is going to be used for a particular purpose. When you style everything. So I got this cool Lakers map because everyone here is a Lakers fan. And when you get down to Staples Center, everything's kind of styled correctly, even the application. So I've taken this step further now. So now my application has been restyled to match my vector tile base map. And everything's all working in harmony. So that's basically what we want to do with our vector tile base maps. So at that point, I'll hand back over this direction here to Andrew, the other Andrew.
Yeah, can you hear me okay? Yeah, I'm sorry, there are two of us called Andy, so it's a little bit confusing. I am a cartographer, so I'm going to be looking at this from the aesthetic point of view. I'm not technical, so you've got all the technical stuff from Renee, and now I'll try and get into looking at building these base maps. Remembering that they are a base map, so building them intelligently in that respect. And I'm going to sort of start by talking about the base maps themselves. You need to choose a base map that's going to support the map you want to build and then make intelligent adjustments to it. We give you all of these maps as a starting point, and maybe that's enough for you, but I want to get into a little bit of detail on how we can work them into the story that we're telling. Now, 2 years ago, we gave a session on working with base maps. We were thinking then of our previous set of raster base maps, cache base maps. We came to a sort of general conclusion of that, which is choose the base map that best supports your map and make sure that it doesn't compete with it. And that still holds with vector base maps. The difference now, of course, being that you're choosing the sort of starting point for what you're doing and then adjusting from there. So I went through a number of points then, and I'm going to repeat them just very quickly here. Questions you should ask yourself when you're choosing a base map. What's your subject? Is it transportation, in which case you might use the street map? Is it environmental, for example, in which case maybe the topographic map, which has some physical features in, as well as a lot of sort of relevant admin stuff? Is it a demographic map? If it's demographic, it might be polygonal, and then you might want something like the canvas map, which is not going to compete too much with the classifications that you're setting up. That takes me to the next point, which is point line or polygon. What sort of data is it? If it's a point map, then you can work on pretty much anything. Some really high saturation, high detail maps like streets, we can actually work with those, and you can get some points that are going to work pretty well on that. If it's lines, then that sort of map is usually okay. But if, for example, you're doing something in roads, although it might be counterintuitive, you might find that, in fact, because the roads on those maps are very strong, they clash a little bit with what you're trying to show. What's the geographic extent of the map? That used to be more of an issue with cached maps, because we did come from different data sets. They were different cycles, updates, and the coverage was slightly different. So you need to be sure that within the step you were looking at, that the base map was doing the job for you, and they did differ to a certain extent. That's less of an issue with vector because, as we've said, they're all coming from the same source. But even so, the base maps are built slightly differently, so you need to take a look and make sure that they are providing the information that you need to really support what you're doing. And what scales are most appropriate? We do limit the information by scale range. That's built into the map to a certain extent. You can limit it even more, but you can't add a feature if it falls outside of our scale range. So you need to look down through the scales and make sure that the map is supporting what you need at all of the scales that you're talking about. The final point, this in a way is less relevant, but still worth saying, which is, are you trying to find a base map to use with an existing map, or are you building a new map on top of your preferred base map? Ideally, you've chosen a base map and you're building on top of it, like any of us actually do that. Quite often, we've sort of got a map, we've got the idea sorted out, and now we're looking around and saying, okay, which base map can I use? With vector, it gets a little bit easier because now you can get as close as you want to be, and then you can get in and make some changes. So I'll go on to the actual styling aspect. So you've chosen the base map, and now you're going to customize, and you want to adjust it to support your story more effectively. So I'm going to sort of focus on the sort of decision-making that you go into for doing that. I'm going to switch to a live session. I'm going to be using another of these apps that we have. This was a beta app built by John Grayson in our applications prototype lab, I think it is now. He wants me to stress that this also is still in beta, so he's still working with it. So things could change on this without sort of any advance warning, so be warned of that. But I want to look at the sort of decision-making that we might go into when we're trying to make a map work with our data. Here is some data. It's shale basins from the Energy Information Administration. It's a simple polygon, and it's in a green, and you can see that we've got clashes with the base map here, which is the topo map. Now, you know, the obvious answer when you're faced with that is change the colour of the information, which we can do in here, but stay with me on this because I want to use it to sort of demonstrate how we work on this. So if I go into John's app and find, let me just check which one I'm working on, day one. So here is the map that is forming the base of that map. I've already saved it out into my organizational account, so I have my own copy of it.
And that is not the one we want. We want the topo map, so that's that one. Okay, so the first thing we want to be able to do is get rid of some of that green. And I happen to know that you can see, if I shrink this a little bit, you can see the colours are coming up in the app over here. So I want to get rid of the parks. I'll take the label off as well. I know I've got another park down here as well. And I know that if I get to the bottom, these are all in alphabetical order in this app. If I get to the bottom, I know we've got some vegetation layers. Somewhere in here, there we are. You can see them coming up in green. So now I can switch these off as well. For some reason, whenever I do that, that moves. I haven't figured out why that's happening. So now if you look at that little sample map that we've got over there, then all of the green is gone. I can update the item. It's just thinking about it for a few minutes. Hopefully it's going to tell me when it's done. Well, let's check it and see if it has done it. Reload. And there they are, gone. Well, in fact, we hope they're gone because the base map's still building. Yeah, there we are. There they are, gone. So that's a fairly simple adjustment that you can make to make the base map work with what you're doing. Now, you're not finished, because what I did there was take out the information that was clashing at one scale. And this is a multi-scale map, so you need to go in and check at other levels as well. And if you're working at very large scales, you probably wouldn't be with that particular data set, but if you were, then if you went in close, you would find that in fact there are more green layers with parks that you would need to take off. So the point is, don't assume because it's working at one scale that you've covered all the bases. You need to go in and check at all scales to make sure that everything's working okay. Now, the other thing you can do is add data to the map. I'm not going to get into a live session on that because it's a little bit complicated for me, at least. You can actually, you can't use John Grayson's app for adding data. For that, you need to be in the code. And basically what you're doing is going in and adding a line of code where it's relevant. Now, to do that, you need to have a good idea of what the code is like, which is where you need to, as Renee was saying, you need to research and get a good feel for how these maps are built. It's got to be a feature that was in that original build of data. You know, we can't magically bring in a feature for you if we hadn't actually built it at first. It will only work at those scales that we defined originally, but within that, you can actually limit the scales a bit more. But for example, if you were to, it's a ridiculous one, but it's just to make a point. If you were to use road shields and you wanted to add them at, say, level one, level two, at international level, then you couldn't do it because we haven't built it like that, because it makes no sense for them to be available at those scales. Just want to quickly go to a couple of sessions of code, which is about as far as I'm going to go with this with code today. The one on the left is for, I believe this is our topographic map. And if I scale down there, you can see we're looking at about something like 7,000 lines of code. There's a lot going on in there. I'm not saying don't make changes to the topographic map. You certainly can, but make sure you understand it well before you do. If you don't have, if you're not that confident with it, there's a version of the canvas maps where we've actually condensed the code. This is the light grey canvas map, and that's down to 2,500 lines. That's a little bit easier to follow and to work with, and I'm going to be working with this in the next phase. Now, to do that, we've grouped some information together. We've sort of collapsed it into the same layers, levels, so it's not quite as flexible as the full map would be, but that's one that might be easier to think about when you're getting going on this stuff if you've not worked with it before. Okay, I am going to switch to another map. And Renee introduced the idea of working with brands. And that was certainly one of the questions we got very early on with our base maps, is how do I adjust this to suit my brand? And Renee did that one with the Lakers, which was, you know, really when you're creating a map like that, you can just throw the colors in there and, you know, they could use it. It's really saying we are Lakers, nothing else. What I'm doing here is looking at it as a base map, which means that you've got to think a lot more carefully about how you're building that information. So I need a brand to work with. So there's a brand. In case anyone from the company is in, I'm not planning to leave the company. I just needed something to work with, so I put that together very quickly. And in fact, I've got my color builds on there, so I've got those available to me to work with. So in John's app, I'm now working with, let me check which one we're at. I'm going to switch on, take that one off. I'm going to work with condensed day one. So that's this one. There's our canvas map. I'm going to change the land color alphabetical, as I said, so somewhere in here. Not a lot in the middle of the alphabet. I keep zooming. I've been doing that all the time. There we are. So let me collapse this a bit again so we can see a little bit more of this. So there's the land. The JSON code tends to work with hex values. John's built an RGB in here. If you're not familiar with hex, there are plenty of converters online that you can use so that you can build a color in RGB and then get the hex conversion. But in here, it's going to do it for you. Do your apps do that, Renee, with the...
For the hex conversion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got 230 and 193. Whoops. And 172. And that should give me that flesh color. And there it is in the map. But this is a base map. That color's a little bit dark. So I'm going to lighten it a bit. I can do that very quickly in the HSV values. So I'll take that down to 15 and take the bottom one up to 100. Whoops. And that's giving me a lighter version of my branded color, which is the color of my face on that thing. So now we're getting established with something that is in keeping with my brand. We can pick out one of the blues. Now, the logical thing for there is the water, and I'll use the lighter blue for that. Now, there are a lot of water features in here. There are even more in the unsort of condensed version, but there's a lot of water in here. So I'll go to, there's a similar sort of fine by color in here. I happen to know it's in this sort of area. So here are all my watercolors. So now I can go in and change those all at one go. And I'm putting in 128, 192, and 255. Whoops. 192. And 255, and there's a blue. And I'll be proactive this time. I'll make it a bit lighter just so that it's in keeping. And here I've got to say replace color, and now it's replacing all of the items that have that color. And now we're getting the essence of a decent branded map. Let me update the item. Refresh this, and hopefully we're seeing those colors coming in, as long as I've got the right layer coming in. There we are. It took its time, but it came in. Now, But again, we're in the same position now. Let me just switch that one. I put that one off on top. We're in the same position now that we were in when I was taking data off, which is we've looked at this at one scale. So you do need to go in. Let me take the subject off. You do need to go in and look at all scales and make sure that everything's still working. Here you can see we've got a little bit of a problem with the urban area, which is a little bit difficult to pick up. I think it's easier on screen than it is on what I've got here. But I would probably want to make adjustments to that as well. It's a bit of a sort of can of worms. You know, once you get into these things and start adjusting, you'll find there's other stuff that you need to adjust to end up with a decent-looking map. It's up to you how far you go with it, but don't take it for granted that making a couple of adjustments like that is enough to give you the branded map that you need. Okay, now I'll change tack a bit. Let me go back to here. We've worked now with a brand, but it might be that there's information in that base map that we could usefully use as part of our subject. And in this case, I'll say, let's say, international boundaries as something that would be quite nice to have as part of my subject, and I don't have them already, so I can pick them out of the base map. So I'll go back to the style layer one. I happen to know that our boundary lines are admin zero for international. This, again, is within that document that we have explaining our layers. So I want admin zero, and there's a one, which means there's more than one layer. But I'll go in there, I'll adjust that to, let's say, an orange. And now I've got a much stronger line, as which can be considered part of the subject of the map. Again, I want to go in and check it at all scales. And when I do go in, let me go in down on this Luxembourg border. I'm going to find that, in fact, there's another line coming in. You maybe can't see it, but it is there. So when I go down, I'll find 0, 0, which is the line on top. And I'll change that to a deep red. And that, in fact, is a dashed line that was sitting on top of that band. So again, you need to check it at all scales. Now, that's hiding this band a little bit, so it could be that I want to actually make an adjustment to the width of that. If I go back to the top line, click on the name, it's going to put me into a simple sort of rendering of at least part of the code that relates to that. And I want to be in the... where are we? Line filter. Which one am I on? I want to be on paint...
Bottom,
there we are. This is in a different order to when I used it before. So paint, line width. I've got stops in there. That means that this is built with different widths at different scales. We have the opportunity to go in and say, okay, at level 0, we're going to make that line 0.67. At level 1, it's gone up to 10. And it is going to adjust progressively through the scales between those levels. So I'm saying that at this layer 14, that's I'm sort of around that area, that I want that to be a bit thicker, let's say 15, which might be a bit much, but it'll make a point. And I don't want it to get thinner again, so I'm going to change the one underneath that. And now we've got that thicker line. So there's a lot you can get into and play with in here, both with any of these apps or if you want to get into the code yourself. There's a lot you can do to really customize these maps to suit your subject. Let me just save that. Go back to the base map. Update, and it's probably going to switch on that grey layer again, but I'll take that off. And there are thicker lines, and as I go in, we're getting that dark red line on top. Now, it's very easy to get carried away with this sort of thing. You can have some real fun with this if you want. And I just want to finish off by showing a map where somebody actually did have some fun. Katie's hideous vector layer. This is Katie LaRue, who works for the City of Seattle. She very early on, when we were on the sort of beta 1 release, she got hold of the night map that we created and decided she'd just go crazy with it, just for the sense. To her credit, and she does know I'm using this, I did ask her permission to use this in the demonstration. It takes a seasoned cartographer to be able to do this to a map and still have it work. And this does actually still work. Okay, with that, I will hand off to Renee.
All right.
Are you ready for it?
Where's this? Where'd my browser go? There we go. Okay.
Okay, you're up.
All right, so I was to quickly talk a little bit more about some stuff you could do client-side with your application. Kind of some, how do I, so you've got all these different base maps and you've got all your custom styles and you've got stuff you want to do. Just a very basic way you could use those in an application, for example. We have the navigation streets vector tile base map, which is this one here on the screen. It's a really neat base map. It's got some pretty nice bright colors and stuff you could use. Everything's pretty clean and sharp here. And if you wanted to use this in, say, some field application where your guy's using it, and we've also got the nighttime vector base map, which is designed to be used during nighttime, then you could go ahead and switch the base map as the time changes. So as I switch past a certain time, I'm going to go ahead and switch the vector base map on, because this might be something that the guys have on their phones where they're driving around or something like that, and you want these vector tile styles to kind of switch pretty quickly. It's pretty simple to do. The methods I showed in an earlier slide, just load style or it's load style or set style depending on the API you're using. Just give it the URL to the new style, and that's the way to switch it up. And if you have anything like that, so say if you want vector base maps to look one vector base map at one scale, and a different vector base map maybe at another scale or another region even, because your application is dealing with multiple things going on, you can just switch the vector tile base map for that particular region or scale that you want to be using it at. So another more advanced thing you can do, and I'll be talking more about this in a session tomorrow and I think on Thursday, on leveraging vector tiles in your web apps. So the vector tiles aren't just for base maps. I know this is a base map styling session, but I just kind of get this one in here. What we've done here is someone gave me access to Pro 1.3, and I went nuts. And I took all of the census blocks for the United States, and I aggregated the population data into hex bins and created this layer you see here. And this particular layer, if you try to load this data set as a feature layer into your web application, just wouldn't work. It's too much data. You couldn't do it. It's just going to choke and die. So what I decided to do is I went ahead and published it as a vector tile package. So now I've got this great looking little data set here of household. I think it's total households aggregated down to hex bins. And you know, this changes a little bit based on the scale that I'm in. So you zoom in a little bit more, you get your nice hex bins, and you zoom out, and I take the outline away, so it's pretty cool. This is all nice and neat and great to look at, but what about the data underneath, right? So then what I did is I took the centroids for each of these aggregated points, and I was able to publish those as a feature service to ArcGIS Online. Now I can go in and click on my map and get the data that supports this vector tile set that I went ahead and created. So those points, that feature service that's driving that query, isn't still, I can't show that on the map either, but it's still too many points to show, but I can still query the data. The data is out there in the service, it's just sitting there. waiting for me to query it. And that's an easy way for me to go ahead and publish a very large data set as a vector tile data set, so it still looks good and it's pretty sharp and clean, but I can query the data behind that. And that's a pretty neat way to be able to work with the vector tiles as well. So that's just what I want to show here. There's more about this and how I made it in other sessions coming up this week.
All set? Yeah. Thank you, Renee. Okay, a little bit of some more advanced customization, or what we like to call advanced customization. Some languages and fonts. So our base maps present English labels in our base map. They may be transliterated, they may be translated, but for the most part, they're English labels. What we're doing with our vector tile base maps is that we're also cooking local languages into the tile set. They're not readily exposed in the base maps, but you can edit the root.json style file, similar to what Andy was showing you in the JSON editor, and you change the name of the label of the layer from name global to name local. And what that does is that changes an attribute field that was cooked into the vector tiles, and it'll display the local language that we have stored in our database that we cooked into the tile set. So we have this available for Thailand, Georgia, I think in Italy, in Germany, things like that, where we have English names for our standard base maps, but in the tiles are the local languages. You may need to change fonts to be able to see those local languages, such as the Thai language performs better using an Arial Unicode than with what our standard style font is in our standard base maps. The other thing is international boundary disputes. Some of you may have that desire to change the appearance of our disputed boundaries in our maps. The one example here is Suriname, where a more diplomatic or international view of the country of Suriname is to have these disputed boundaries on it. They're both southeast and southwest boundary lines. Well, if you're doing a map for Suriname, for a customer in Suriname, maybe you do want to show the country's depiction of their boundaries. You can do that by editing the JSON code again, and we have a list of disputed boundary codes in that reference document that you'd be able to turn on some of the disputed boundaries and display them as regular international boundaries, and also turn off some of the additional disputed boundaries so they're not displaying. All that's cooked into our vector tile set. It's not exposed in the core base maps, but you can get into the JSON style, JSON code, and style it how you really want to. So like I said, we had a blog about that, about customizing base maps for boundaries and labels. The Esri reference document, it's a PDF document on ArcGIS Online. It details the min-max zooms, the layer names, disputed boundary codes, and what supported fonts that are currently in our base map resource folders. We do have plans to add additional open source fonts during our beta period. We're also looking, if you're familiar with our Community Maps program, we're working out a way where we can also cook in community roads that are in our topographic maps that aren't in like our street map. With that, if we're able to cook that into our vector tile set, you'll be able to go in and change the JSON, which will turn off commercial roads and turn on your own local community contributed roads. Just some more customization. We're also working on getting additional data features into all of our base maps. Spot elevations, landform labels, contours, like I said, community sourced roads, and then user choices of how you want to customize that layer. And then also just some more features as we mature out of beta into our full production mode. So like I said, we have our 9 default styles. We also have some creative styles. They're available at a group online called Sample Vector Tile Layers. They include like a seasonal set of tiles, or a seasonal set of styles, winter, summer, autumn, spring, just have some color variations based on that. We have an Esri branded map using our core company colors. We have a black and white map that Andy Skinner produced. That's one where you could use that John Grayson's interface, and it really is literally two colors, black or white, and you can just change it and have a red and white, a red and yellow, just real simple but straightforward color changes to the map. As this matures and we release Pro 1.3, where you are able to produce your own tile layers, and also as we support other tools to be able to download and upload full resource sets, so that's the fonts, the sprites, and the style files, you'll be able to customize those sprites and really make some really neat custom maps. The graphics on this slide, the real colorful one, that's our street map sprite set. So that's all the road shields around the world that we have as customized symbols. In the top left, it's all the patterns, the swamps, the parks, things like that. And the graphic in the lower right is actually a very customized sprite that we've done in-house for our modern antique map that was shown in the plenary session yesterday. So these very customized maps are available in that sample map group. They're built on the same base maps that our topo, our street, our canvas, and what Andy was showing you. They're all based on that same single vector tile set. It's just that the styles and sprites are different. We have the modern antique, and we have a new one, newspaper, which has halftone patterns in the sprites. Just really highly customized, symbolized map designs that you can do using our tile set and customization of the JSON code. So as Renee said, he's going to be giving a talk later on this week. I know Andy Skinner's has a demo theater later on this week. Here's five other vector tile related presentations tomorrow and Thursday that you may be interested in learning more about our vector tiles. This is the one that has all the GitHub repos for the JSON editor, the basemap style editor, the John Grayson app. You can see his name, Grayson, in the URL. The vector tile demos that Renee talked about, his repo is listed in there. Also, the ArcGIS API for JavaScript, we have the code there. If you're doing actual JSON editing outside of some of these customized style editors, our recommendation would be Adobe Brackets freeware application for the JSON editing. With that, we've come to the conclusion of our session. We would recommend and support you in filling out the survey through the Esri UC app. And if you have any questions, we'll open up the floor at this point. And as we said, some of the slides, information from the slides are on a handout. Or I'll go back to, I think I'll go back to this page. This might be the best since it has some complex URLs that, you know, you may want to snap a picture of or come up and get a handout. Questions? Okay. Are you talking about like the Mapbox?
The Mapbox.
The style spec itself, correct? So the style spec itself.
Yeah. So the style spec itself. I mean, we're not the latest one, but the changes they made for the latest one aren't breaking anything that we've currently have. So that's how it's working right now. I don't think we are currently using the latest tile. Style spec update. There's, because you have to remember, there's two specs. There's a tile spec and there's a style spec. So the style spec is just fine at this point. We're okay.
In the front?
I'm on the office for changing things with styling. Do you have any drawings
do you want to answer the drawing order?
Yeah, drawing order, I think you'd have to get into the JSON code and reorganize within the JSON code. It draws, I think, from, you know, it draws first what's at the top, I believe. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so what you would need to do is go in and just reorganize things in the code. But again, I'd recommend you get a good look at what we've done before you start, because you could very easily find things sort of getting out of control on you.
In the back.
So yeah, the PBF files are binary files. It's Google came up with a format to be able to transport data, and they're just very lightweight files you can download across the wire. It's better than downloading like a JSON version of the same data. There are libraries out there you could use to read the PBF files if you wanted to. Admit they're not locked down or anything. Yeah, they hold all the information for the geometries and the, everything like that, how they should be drawn. So.
Sure, in the middle.
So these are available for ArcGIS online, or are they available for desktop? What would they be?
They are not available for desktop. They will be available for Pro 1.3. Any other questions? Or if you have questions that you want to come up and ask us directly, we'll be here for a few more minutes. But I'd like to thank you all for coming. And if you have more questions down in the content island, there's a base map section. There's a living atlas section. There's people there that all know about vector tiles as well. Thank you.